I have to tell you, I missed Stephen and Ruth when they were away for so long. I love what these guys bring to Good Life. All that happening this next weekend. I'm really going to ask that you keep next weekend in your prayers. I have something just brewing inside that I have an expectation about next weekend. We're going to try and fit as many seats in here as possible. If you're only used to coming on the Sunday and this is your first time, you haven't been here for ages, or you've forgotten what Good Life's all about, we're about people. And all through the week, there are thousands of people that come through this center, sports-related, fitness-related, small group-related, all sorts of things. And we're inviting everyone. There'll be emails that go out this week to everyone on a database, and there'll be news that goes out into the community inviting people. But I don't want to invite people to just come to a service. I want to invite people to encounter the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Life, hope. And that's what our next weekend is about. And it's interesting to me, the fickle nature of people. It's fascinating how quickly we change from passion and excitement to apathy. From the highest of highs to the lowest of lows. You know, we talk about manic personalities, but, you know, sometimes I experience just in church life and in relationship with God, many times people just go through real swings. And this morning I just want to look at and really introduce the fickle nature of this week in history. While I'm listening to this rain, as I have to tell you, there's a whole lot of things running through my mind right now, so I'm going to have to focus on what's on my heart to talk about. I have a wedding I'm doing today, right after this, and I'm thinking about the bride. I'm thinking about all that she's thinking right now. We've been meeting for months about this, and I'm thinking about my car that's sitting outside, because my car leaks and my wife had to drive somewhere else today, and I'm thinking, man, I'm going to get wet and then have to drive up the mountains in a wet car. Our minds are funny things. They just swing all over the place. I'm wondering, did I leave the windows open at home? Because I tend to. Donna tends to shut them and she's not there. I'll know more. John chapter 12, let's go there. The fickle nature of people. Jesus, this weekend in history, in John chapter 12, is really at the height of his popularity in the time of the New Testament. Okay, in Jesus' life, this sort of weekend, if it was laid back over his lifetime, is his height of popularity. This is known as this weekend, the weekend of the triumphal entry, or Palm Sunday. And it's a weekend where, as Jesus entered Jerusalem, the crowds who were gathering for the Passover were excited that Jesus was coming into town. And so I just want to read verses 12 through 19. This day the great crowd had come for the feast, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And they took palm branches and they went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." You hear the words? The crowds are there lining the street and they're shouting out and they're waving these palm branches, and says they lay their clothes on the ground, preparing a pathway. And there's this excitement. Hosanna! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Welcome to the King of Israel. There's this point they've come to, and there's this excitement, and Jesus found a young donkey, sat on it, as it was written, "Don't be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." Verse 16, at first the disciples didn't understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these were the things that were previously written about him, and that they'd done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, also went out to meet him. And the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." I mean, it's a really interesting situation that is developing on the road leading into Jerusalem. Here is Jesus on a donkey fulfilling Old Testament prophecy that said, "Your king will come mounted on a donkey." There are some that maybe are connecting that. There's others who are standing there lining the road, caught up in the excitement of it. There are others who are standing there angry. But this week is a week that takes us from the height of Jesus' popularity to his lonely death and crucifixion on a cross. How in a week do we go from celebrating the man of the day, the King of Israel, Hosanna to the Son of David, our Messiah, to a man naked on a cross with probably one of his disciples, John, and some of the ladies who attended him, and everyone else is gone? And I really hope that this message might simply lead you to a place of contemplation this week. I hope you'll be here Friday. I hope you'll be here Sunday. But I hope this week will be a week that you will contemplate, that you will consider where you are. I want to just read from Eugene Peterson's The Message for a moment. Because in this same passage, as interpreted by Eugene, I really like the end of it. Eugene's interpretation of verse 19. "The Pharisees took one look at what was happening and threw up their hands and said, 'This is out of control. The whole world is in a stampede after him.'" This is out of control. And there was something about the Pharisees that they were alarmed because they liked the control. And they like to be able to manage people. And they like to be able to direct people. But there were many that looked at Jesus and saw him as the hope of a change of system. Change of a political system. There was an expectation that he would bring, Pharisees believed that if the Messiah came, he would bring them more power and more authority. And here was Jesus, who some were claiming was the Messiah, and yet their power was being stripped away. And their identity was being stripped away. And Jesus challenged their position time and time again. And Jesus didn't come to just empower people and position people, even as some of his followers hoped. Jesus came to challenge people. And this morning, I hope that maybe we'll be challenged again to consider, where might we be in that crowd this week? Some people hope that Jesus is going to bring a better life. And when we encounter Jesus, sometimes it seems like it's a much harder life. And some of the things Jesus said and said that we would take on if we followed him seem very counter what our hopes might be. He calls us to give things away, to think of ourselves as less than others, to put others ahead of ourselves, to don't think of ourselves with any great reputation, but to follow him. And Paul wrote that we should take on the same nature of Christ, which is to serve. And Jesus comes going, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. And if we're looking for power, all these things strip away at it, chip away at it. And if we're looking for, you know, identity and reputation, if we follow Jesus, it begins to chip away at it. You know, it's interesting that this passage says the disciples who had been following him for 3 years, walking with him, didn't even get what was going on here. It says in the moment they did not understand. And it wasn't till later, after the resurrection, after they'd seen Jesus again, after they'd had time to process it, that they began to get what this actually was about. And you know, I really wonder sometimes, and I've been thinking about it, I've been preparing for the Good Friday's message and Easter Sunday's message. I'm wondering how much of even our faith we get when we have the Bible and we get to read it and we have all the hindsight in the world, do we really get what this is about? I had dinner with a couple last night. Been exposed to lots of religion. Been exposed to lots of institutionalized church. Been exposed in a nation where you are required to register church attendance. But don't begin to get the simplicity of relationship with God in Christ. Met with someone that was actually afraid that when they discovered that I was a minister, a preacher, a church leader, that I would think differently of them when I discovered they weren't baptized. And I think, what is it that we've set up? What is the institution that we've set up that actually distances people from Christ? And I wonder how many in here might have just this idea of institutionalized religion and Sunday mornings just a part of that, and it's just this routine that we have to go through, and somehow if we do fulfill it, we'll appease God and we'll have relationship with him by attendance. Man, it was so real to me in this conversation that I had last night. And it made me think a lot about this week, and it made me think a lot about this triumphal entry, and it made me think a lot about the crowd that were gathered there and the makeup of that crowd. And those that were expecting empowerment, and those that were expecting, you know, liberty from oppression, and those that were expecting that the king was going to come and there would be this amazing transformation. But none of what they expected was about to happen. You know, in John chapter 12, verse 9, just a little bit before this triumphal entry, Jesus was meeting with, he was having a meal, and a lady came and cries over Jesus and pours perfume on him. But it says in verse 9, a large crowd of Jews found that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but again to see Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead. Verse 10 is amazing to me, because it says, so the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. They already had a plan to kill Jesus, and it's like, man, now we've got this other issue. Here's this guy that has been raised from death to life, and we need him dead again. This is not working for us. Wow, think about that for a second. That there is a group of people, religious in the deepest ways, you think about this passage, and they deliberately set themselves over the one who has power to bring someone from death to life. Their very statement says, we have greater power than that, because we will return him who is made alive to death. That's the condition of the religious leaders. And my fear is still today, that is what institutionalized religion does to people. Is where Jesus has purposed people for life. And the cross was that it would bring life. We don't like the liberty, and we would rather see people returned to death because they threaten our very existence, and our power, and our control. It's amazing when I read through that. But they planned to kill Lazarus on account of him, because many of the Jews were turning to Jesus and putting their faith in him. And that's what births what the Pharisees say in verse 19. They say, this is getting us nowhere. This is out of control. The whole world is running headlong after Jesus, and we don't like it. It's amazing, in Luke 19, the same story as this. The people are shouting, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory to God. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, make your disciples stop shouting. Make them stop declaring. People who set themselves up as an authority, as a religious authority, as mediators between God and man, when the Bible says there is only one mediator, and that is Christ. Those who oppose Christ that were in that crowd that day sought only to promote themselves. I believe if Jesus had backed them, they would have been all about Jesus. If Jesus had empowered them, they would have loved to have Jesus on board. And I wonder how many people, and maybe even in here today, if it came down to it, you would be found in opposition to Christ. Why? Because you are more about you than you are about Jesus. We're happy for religion. We're happy to look religious. We're happy to attend church. We're happy to be seen as upstanding citizens in our community. We're happy to be seen as good husbands, as good fathers, as good mothers, as good wives. But when it comes down to it, if our appearance here is to further ourselves, we are in no better position than what the Pharisees were, which is in opposition to the kingdom of God and his Christ. And I venture to say that this next Friday, as we gather for the Good Friday service and we gather for Easter Sunday, that there'll be people in our midst that are very much about their own kingdom, themselves. Happy to take Jesus on board if it furthers them. But when it challenges us, when it's going to undermine or tear down who we've established and built ourselves to be, we would rather kill Jesus all over again. And I wonder if the thought of Jesus actually being in control of life unsettles us. Because if in any way it unsettles you, you are one of those in the crowd that really is in opposition to Christ. But it's a reality. There were those in the crowd that were, they were curious. In John chapter 12, 17 and 18, it says the crowd had come to meet Jesus because they'd seen him call Lazarus out of the tomb. Those who had seen Lazarus were working the crowd, going, man, this is Jesus. This is that one we told you about. This is that one that raised Lazarus from the dead to life. And there's a curious nature about it. They kept talking about him and they kept talking about this miracle. You know, there are the curious. And they want to see Jesus do magic tricks. We want to see the power. We want to see the demonstration. We want to be moved emotionally. We want to feel it. But Jesus didn't just come that we would feel it. He didn't just come that we would see the circus show, that we would see the miraculous. He came to challenge the core of who we are and to set us free from ourselves and transform our lives. The curious aren't opposed to Jesus. I mean, they're interested. But they certainly haven't come to the place where they're going to commit themselves. They're just there to see. But if you come to see with this predetermined expectation, because so many of these came to see Jesus the miracle worker. Well, what happens when Jesus isn't performing miracles? And he's not feeding the masses? And he's not healing the sick? Where he's not providing abundantly? do we walk away? Do we walk away dejected? Do we walk away very unimpressed? See, the miracles weren't the hook. They were the declaration of who Jesus was, and it still had to come down to people's own gravitation to Christ and heart transformation. And if you just stop at the sideshow, you miss the point. There were those who were confused. There's those who come in the crowd and they don't get it. They really are confused. In fact, in Matthew's account, it says when Jesus came to Jerusalem, everyone in the city was excited, but they're asking, who is this? Who can this be? We don't get this. The crowd answers in Matthew, this is Jesus, he's the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. He's a prophet. There's a lot of people that were confused about Jesus. And still today, I think there are a lot of people confused about Jesus. So you've got people that are flat out opposed to him. You've got some that are curious about him. They want to see manifestation and demonstration, but you've got those who are confused. They thought one thing, but it's not working out quite like we expected. You've got those who I think are just complacent. I don't reckon they really could have cared. They just happened to be caught in the crowd. They'll watch, but big deal. There's some who are the committed. There are the disciples of Jesus that when he said, go and get the donkey and untie it and bring it, they went, you bet, we're gone. There are some when they're told, go and prepare a room, they're gone. They go and they do it. But the committed ones really are the minority in that crowd. There were thousands of people that began a journey that day under the statement of revelation. The crowds are standing there declaring, this is the King of Israel. This is the Son of David. Hosanna. Praise his name. They're waving, they're worshiping, they're declaring. And a week later, there is a handful of people at the cross. We're a fickle bunch. We're a fickle bunch. I'm included in it. Sometimes my faith is, man, it's great. And other times, my faith is severely lacking. There are times I take hold of verses in the Bible and I believe them for all I'm worth. And there are times I virtually cower in fear and confusion, not knowing which way to turn. I'm fickle. I can change the way I feel. But I wonder where, if you were to assess, and I hope this week might be a week of assessment, because many of us this morning were standing declaring Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, all the biblical names of Jesus. I love the rhythm of the drum in that song. I feel sometimes like just
you know, marching and declaring this powerfully. I hear voices raised, singing it. But I wonder, when difficulty comes, do we stand and sing with the same passion? You know, we are going to face change and face challenge in little ways, like moving services, by having to rise up and volunteer and do things. And the question is always going to be, how do we respond to those things? Man, do we set our feet? Do we set our face? Do we oppose stuff? We might embrace things curiously. We might just be confused. We might be committed, but commitment easily falls to complacency, and we just ride this wave. We're just a fickle bunch. But I love the fact that Jesus went to the cross because he is preparing for himself a spotless bride. And we are all invited in to that. You see, it doesn't matter where you are in the crowd. It matters where you end up. It doesn't matter if this morning you're in opposition, that it's more about you than it is about Christ. It doesn't matter if you're in a place where you're curious and you're chasing the wonder and you're waiting to see the demonstration. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter right now if you're just on the height of commitment, that you'll do whatever Jesus says at the drop of a hat. Actually, doesn't matter right now if you've slipped into complacency. What matters is that you know where you're at and you're not ignorant about it. Because the cross of Christ, as Stephen said, and I didn't know he was going to take it that direction, the cross of Christ is the point of all of this. The what we call the triumphal entry was a lead up. Jesus knew what he was headed towards at this point. In fact, it's not long after this that Jesus just weeps over Jerusalem and goes, "If only you had known." After this huge triumphal entry, he knows that they don't get it. But he knew the cross was coming. The point is, we need to recognize where we're at. And we need to do it on a regular basis. And we need to continue to come to the cross. And this week, I hope that your heart, that my heart, will be contemplative towards Good Friday, which is the place of the forgiveness of sin, the hope of reconciliation to God, restoration. But then Easter Sunday, the hope of life. The resurrection from the dead, where death is overcome in victory. And I hope that today might be a day of just contemplation. And we're not going to close it with song. We're not going to close it with any great fanfare. I really wanted to just take the morning to introduce the week and the next weekend. Wanted to maybe kickstart us towards contemplating just where you're at. It's God who extended his hand to us in Christ. But the reality of Christ goes to the confrontation of the core of who we are. And I love that he searches us out and he knows us. And his heart is not to connect you to some religious practice or organization. It is to redeem you, to restore you, to give you hope and a purpose, to give you liberty. And to give you the knowledge that you are known and that you are valued and that you are loved. And so this morning, I'm hoping that we'll really just go, but go thoughtfully. And during the week, be reflective. And I hope that with the message of the cross of Christ on our hearts, I hope that we might invite someone to understand the message of the cross, the message of the resurrection, the message of life, Jesus, the Savior of the world. And so, Father, I pray that you would stir in our hearts a real reflective nature, because God, you know where we are. You know if we are in opposition. God, if we have set ourselves above the authority of Christ. God, you know us if we're just curious. We just hang out with the crowd waiting to see the excitement, waiting to see the demonstration. Then maybe we'll connect with it. Lord, maybe we really are confused. We've seen some of the stuff you've done. We've heard it said of who you are. But inside there's a deep cry in our heart going, Jesus, who are you really? Lord, you know us if we're committed. But Lord, you also know where our commitment drifts towards complacency. And it just becomes the everyday mundane and we lose passion. And so, Father, I just pray that you, by your Spirit, would just explore our hearts with us this week. And I pray for those that will come this Friday by invitation, that may be exploring, that maybe just get caught up in the crowd. Lord Jesus, I pray that you, by your Spirit, would declare yourself in our midst. I pray that many would see the truth, God, of your heart revealed in your Son, and the extent that you would go to in your love to restore us to you. And God, I pray that as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, that we would enter into the power of newness of life. And Father, I pray that you would identify people around us that we may need to just invite, that we just may need to speak to, that you'd give us revelation of where they are at, and maybe give us a word to speak to them that is in season for them. But God, I just ask you expectantly this week and this next weekend that we would see a powerful move of the revealed Savior, Jesus Christ. That we would be a people of transformation to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. That's where we're going to leave this. And I hope that you may take that. If you want to reread it, John chapter 12, it's also recorded in Matthew, it's also recorded in Luke, and just the different responses to Jesus coming to Jerusalem the week prior to his crucifixion. I pray that you go peacefully, but I pray that you'd go expectantly. On your way out, we're still just so you're aware, we're still putting together a whole lot of teams that's going to facilitate the two services we're moving to. I hope you've already made your decision which one you will try and be a part of. But the opportunity in doing that is to serve others as well. So there's a table out there. There's opportunities to engage in areas maybe you've never thought of before. One thing we forgot to mention too was just simply the center is closed to general use this Saturday and then Easter Monday as well. And one last thing, Craig, could you use help Thursday night or early Friday transitioning this from a futsal stadium into what we need for Friday morning? Could you do with a handful more? If you'd be willing, it's late. It's like 9:30 Thursday night. This place gets transformed from a futsal stadium into this sort of setup and more chairs for Friday morning. Could you just see Craig and just let him know if you're available to come? Probably just need a handful. Some of the futsal guys will hang around, but Craig will be up here after if you want to give him your name. It's just, again, serving each other, serving our community. Welcome, hang around for a cup of tea, cup of coffee, say hi to someone, and enjoy your day. Sorry, one sec. Also, if you're part of the offering crew, there's a meeting upstairs as well following this service. God bless. See you soon.